This is Construction Business Mastery, episode number 3. In the fast-paced, high-tech world of construction today, 80% of the new start construction companies go broke or out of business within the first year. In 5 years, only 2% of the construction companies remain. Construction Business Mastery is dedicated to providing educational information and resources necessary for construction companies to succeed and prosper. Hello, this is Glenn Wilson. And I'll be your host for this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. This is our third podcast in a series of podcasts directed at helping independent and medium-sized contractors succeed and prosper in the construction industry. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about getting back to the basics in our feature segment. And in our legal segment, we're going to be looking at a very interesting case where the specifications prevailed over a conflict in a drawing note. In our safety segment, we will be looking at the hazards of improper use of scaffolding. And in our construction quick tip, you will have an opportunity to receive the 7 C's of a successful contractor. I think you will find all of these segments very interesting and helpful. And now for our feature segment. Over this past month, I've gotten quite a few comments that contractors today are extremely concerned with getting work and getting paid. I think both of these are two of the toughest areas that contractors have to face in the tough economic times that we find ourselves in today in this business. In this segment, we're going to be looking at getting back to the basics. And one of the primary basics is understanding what it cost us to construct a project. One of our clients contacted us regarding a concern over a trend that he's seeing in being outbid on projects in his specialty field. This particular contractor is a general trades contractor doing specialty work for the military. He explained that he's seeing a trend of contractors bidding work at well below his cost. We've seen this phenomena before, back in the 1980s, when the economy was shrinking rapidly, work was drying up, just as we're seeing it doing now. We started seeing people taking bids at extremely low figures. In this particular case, our contractor had bid a project for approximately $340,000. There were 3 bids. One of them was $346,000, and the low bid was at $190,000. That seems to be a very large discrepancy. The first question I asked our contractor was, did he really understand his cost? In reviewing the procedures of his bidding, we found that he didn't really have an excellent handle on his true cost. However, he was doing a pretty good job at an approximation. In tight markets, this really isn't good enough. We took this project on as a test case and looked at his bid compared to the $190,000 bid that was awarded the project and determined that he could have bid the job at a lower price and still maintained his projected and required profit margin. We did, however, determine that the contractor that was awarded the project for $190,000 would probably be in trouble getting the work done for the amount bid. I think this really points out the fact that we've got to understand our cost. And until we understand our cost, we cannot accurately bid new work. I've really been surprised over the past few years to find that there are contractors, some of which have bid on projects that we are doing, that really don't know whether they're making money or losing money on a project until they add up all the bills at the end of the project. There are many systems out there that can assist you in managing your cost. A good accounting system is essential. One that we recommend for independent and medium-sized contractors is QuickBooks for Contractors, which is a computer-based system. But even if you don't have a computer-based system, you need to be able to understand double-entry bookkeeping and understand how to keep track of your actual project cost and know for certain whether or not you are profitable on the project during the construction project, preferably on a weekly basis. This is what I call getting back to the basics, and understanding your cost is probably the most important basic you need to master. In this segment of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast, we're going to be looking at legal issues that affect our construction industry today. This section is brought to you by WP Publishing, the publishers of Construction Claims Advisor, and the information provided herein is with their express permission. During this segment, we're going to be looking at a very interesting case relevant to whether specifications or drawings take precedence in construction documents. This has always been a problem when discrepancies are encountered between what is specified and what is shown on the blueprints. A little bit of background about this case. The Department of Veterans Affairs awarded a fixed-priced contract to F.A. Wilhelm Construction Company for the expansion and modernization of a medical center in Indianapolis, Indiana. The specifications called for the furnishing, installation, and testing of a complete and operating monitoring network and public address system. The contractor was required to assign the manufacturer's warranty for the nurse call system to the VA. A note on one of the electrical drawings stated, "All nurse call components shall be owner furnished and contractor installed." The general specifications referred to the delivery of government furnished equipment shown on the scheduled drawings. Wilhelm did not question the drawing note or the apparent discrepancy with the specifications prior to submitting its bid. A dispute arose as to which party was responsible for furnishing the nurse call station system components. Wilhelm said the drawing note obligated the VA. The VA, the project owner, replied that it was clearly the contractor's responsibility under the specifications. The contracting officer denied the contractor's claim. The specifications and drawings for construction clause says, anything mentioned in the specifications and not shown on the drawings or shown on the drawings and not mentioned in the specifications shall be of like effect as if shown or mentioned in both. In the case of the difference between drawings and specifications, the specifications shall govern. Wilhelm appealed the denial of its claim. The Civilian Board of Contract Appeals said the specifications, which took precedence over the drawings, note, clearly required the contractor to furnish the equipment. The specifications stated that the contractor shall furnish the listed equipment and a complete operable system. Further, the appeals board held that Wilhelm has not explained how its interpretation is consistent with the requirement that the successful contractor contract with an original equipment manufacturer to deliver the equipment to the project and receive authorization by the original equipment manufacturer to pass through the OEM's certification and equipment warranty to the VA. The board went on to rule that even if the contract requirements were considered ambiguous, Wilhelm had a duty to alert the VA prior to the bid submittal. The board ruled that to the extent that there was a conflict between the plans and specifications, it was the responsibility of Wilhelm to bring it to the attention of the VA prior to submitting its bid. We find this same clause in most of the contract specifications and the delineation of the order of precedence with the plans and specifications in most contracts today. And it is critical that we review the plans and specifications prior to submitting our bids to make sure there is not ambiguous or erroneous conflicts that could cause problems in our contract later. Over this past month, we had several contractors get in touch with us about our safety segment on the podcast and told us that they really didn't know a lot about the OSHA requirements for working safely. This is an area of concern throughout the construction industry. And if you do not have proper knowledge of the OSHA requirements and what you need to do to have a safe job site, the lack of that knowledge can definitely put you out of business. If you do have an OSHA inspection, ignorance of the law is not an excuse, and you will be fined for the violations. So in this podcast, we're going to discuss a little bit about one of the most troublesome areas as far as safety on our job sites, and that is the problem with scaffolding. More than one-third of all fatalities on the construction job site are because of falls, and the most common cause involves scaffolding. Every year, more than 2 million construction employees work on scaffolds. And scaffolding violations by OSHA is a recurring incident and has resulted in millions of dollars in fines. Protection of workers from scaffolding accidents would prevent 45,000 injuries and 50 deaths annually, according to OSHA. I am amazed at companies who would willingly neglect safety measures when work is done at dangerous heights. The most common cause of scaffolding accidents is the meager planking utilized and deployed in the platform area. It is mandated by OSHA that each platform be fixed and the space between adjacent units is limited to 1 inch in width. More than 70% of the scaffolding injuries are from the planking giving way or workers slipping and falling due to shifting of the scaffolding planks. In addition, OSHA requires 100% fall protection requirement be met for all workers working above 6 feet. I'm amazed at the number of companies that violate this mandate. I know of one instance where a company failed to train its workers on the hazards of working with such equipment and permitted them to work on scaffolding that was improperly constructed without the 100% fall protection. When the failure occurred, it resulted in 10 injuries. This resulted in numerous citations against the company and $159,350 in penalties. OSHA stated that employers should take the enforcement action as a clear indication that the administration remains committed to vigorous enforcement of construction safety standards. I believe that every construction company should take heed of this. The commitment to safety, assurance, and health protection of all workers should be on every employer's creed. I know of several people who have had to make that fateful phone call to a family member letting them know that their loved one had been taken to the hospital in critical condition. I am extremely thankful and thank God that I've never had to make one of those kind of calls. And now it's time for our Construction Business Mastery Quick Tip. In keeping with our theme, getting back to the basics, I have decided to resurrect a short course consisting of 7 construction bulletins that I did several years ago called the 7 C's of a successful contractor. The 7 C's are contract, communication, character, cash, cost, computers, and completion. You can sign up to receive these 7 construction bulletins, each sent one day apart, for free at cmstrends.com. And I guarantee that if you follow and understand the 7 C's of a successful contractor, it will greatly improve your odds of success. In addition, in the show notes, you will find a discount coupon for the ebook, If It Didn't Happen in Writing, It Didn't Happen, which is included in the 7 C's of a successful contractor as an option to purchase. I highly recommend both the 7 C's of a successful contractor and the ebook, If It Didn't Happen in Writing, It Didn't Happen. Both are great tools that will help you in succeeding in the construction industry. In our next podcast, we are going to be looking at some elements and practices that are critical to operating a construction company in today's environment profitably. And in addition, in our quick tip, we will be providing access to a test that will help you determine whether or not your company will succeed and prosper in this next decade. In today's construction industry, don't hope you will succeed. Plan for success.